KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:04, we have partly cloudy skies and 22 degrees in Atlantic. Looking for skies to be partly to mostly sunny this morning. Cloudy this afternoon with light snow developing late. We'll have a high around 37 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Authorities have identified a Southwest Iowa man who died following an ATV accident Tuesday afternoon north of Shenandoah. According to officials, 63-year-old Lyle Green was riding the all-terrain vehicle on family property about a mile and a half north of Shenandoah when the accident occurred at around 4:30 p.m. At about that same time, the Shenandoah Fire Department was called to a field fire, and while details concerning the accident are still not available, authorities say the ATV accident was the apparent cause of the fire. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office was assisted in their investigation of that incident by the Iowa State Patrol, the Iowa DNR, the Fremont County Coroner's Office, and Shenandoah Fire and Rescue. I'll have more news after this.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held Tuesday morning in Lewis for a new fire station that's been more than 3 years in the making. Lewis Mayor Don Kors said the preliminary design for the facility was approved by the City Council in October of 2009 after taking into consideration the costs and space required. When a committee was formed, it was determined the facility needed to be 6,500 square feet if it was to store all the equipment necessary to respond to emergencies. Kors said the project got off the ground when the city applied and was approved for a nearly $281,000 iJobs grant through the state of Iowa.
In addition to the tremendous amount received from the iJobs grant, a donation from the Lewis Fire Association Building Fund, and funds from the city, the project was completed at a cost of nearly $420,000.
The mayor said the city benefited while construction was underway from all the construction crews who spent the money in town at the local convenience store, cafe, and post office. Kors credited former Governor Chet Culver with creating the iJobs initiative that made a significant impact in financing not only for the fire station project, but other needed projects within the community as well.
During Governor Chet Culver's term, the iJobs program was created. In 2009 and 2010, the City of Lewis received iJobs money designated for street work totaling $3,786. In July 2010, we were awarded $150,000 to help with our water improvement and new well project. In September 2010, we received the iJobs 2 grant for $280,950 for the fire station. The grand total, $434,786. Governor Culver, on behalf of the community, I would like to extend a heartfelt thank you for your dedication to the citizens of our town and the state of Iowa.
Governor Culver, who was in attendance at the event, congratulated the mayor and the other city officials who worked long and hard to see the process through. Culver said the purpose of the iJobs initiative was to help eastern Iowa recover from the floods of 2008 and other natural disasters occurring that year. He said they discovered during the process that there were many communities with needs that had gone unmet because funding was not available through federal agencies. That's when his administration created the iJobs and infrastructure concept, the best part of which, he says, involves no taxpayer dollars.
Of the $600 million or so that we invested in projects like this one, there's not one penny of taxpayer money that goes into any of the projects. We get the funding to pay off the bonds from the casino revenue at 17 of our casinos. And half of that money is from people that live outside of the state of Iowa that come to those casinos for a little fun and entertainment. So we found, I think, a responsible way to pay for this big infrastructure initiative.
Culver said the second part of the iJobs program was added to help communities with major infrastructure projects not associated with the floods and disasters.
These, in most cases, were projects that have been on the drawing boards or had been on the drawing board for many, many years, but they just didn't have the money to move forward. I think this is a very good example of this new fire station here in Lewis.
Culver said the result was a state that was transformed and modernized, and that includes the community of Lewis.
This building will be here 100 years. This is going to be a new, modern, state-of-the-art facility that will literally save lives, because your response time will be reduced, your equipment's going to be in better shape, the men and women that are volunteering and serving as firefighters are going to be better trained and better prepared. They're going to have better equipment. And, you know, it's just a win-win long-term and short-term situation.
Culver said people who put their lives on the line like firefighters deserve the most modern facility and equipment possible so they can do the very best job possible. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a 46-year-old Council Bluffs woman has been accused of faking an abduction, and relatives and friends have learned the woman's pregnancy was just a 9-month ruse. Authorities say Janice Winfield has been charged with misdemeanor counts of obstruction of justice, malicious prosecution, and making a false report of an indictable crime. She's pleaded not guilty and scheduled to begin trial on February 21st. Authorities say that in July, Winfield left false evidence of an abduction at her home and sent false text messages to relatives that said she'd been hurt, was going into labor, and needed help. The relatives contacted police, who began an investigation. And within hours, Winfield was pulled over for speeding in Kearney, Nebraska, some 170 miles west of her home. She was not hurt, not kidnapped, and not pregnant. And administrators of the Nottoway Valley Community School District in Greenfield are remaining mum on what disciplinary action has been or will be taken following an alleged hazing incident involving the school's wrestling team. The school board heard from parents who are furious over sexual abuse by members of the wrestling team against a 16-year-old wrestler. The school's athletic director, David Huff, sent a letter home to parents last Friday saying the school was aware of the alleged hazing incident on the wrestling team and the school conducted its own investigation. According to KCCI-TV in Des Moines, many of the parents who attended Monday night's school board meeting called for administrators not only to fire the coaching staff, but suspend the rest of the wrestling season. But the board isn't talking about what actions are being taken. One of the parents who attended the meeting on Monday said her son is a member of the wrestling squad. Dora Pudens said her son had been threatened at least once by his teammates. In one instance, she says the wrestling coach allegedly stood by and authorized the wrestling captains to decide for themselves what they wanted for the punishment while the coaches walked out of the room. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, it's on to South Carolina today for the Republican presidential candidates. They're expected to fly in from New Hampshire, where Mitt Romney won most of the votes in yesterday's primary. Romney said last night, "We're asking the good people of South Carolina to join the citizens of New Hampshire." President Obama is hoping to raise some serious cash in Chicago today for his re-election campaign. Tickets to his speech at the University of Illinois at Chicago start at $44 per person, but tickets to two events later in the day begin at $7,500 for one event and $35,800 per couple for the other. First Lady Michelle Obama said she's tired of people portraying her as, quote, some kind of angry black woman. In an interview with CBS News, Mrs. Obama challenges assertions in a new book that she has forcefully imposed her will on White House aides. She said that she hasn't read Jody Kantor's new book called The Obamas. And Hostess has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The maker of Twinkies, Ding Dongs, and Susie Q's is blaming its financial troubles on pension and medical benefits, increased competition, and on tough economic conditions. News time is 8:12.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in our funeral announcements, James Jim Matteson, age 63, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Services for Jim Matteson will be today at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gladys E. Hansen, age 89, of Exira, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Gladys Hansen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Dennis Allen Armstrong, age 46, of Harlan, died January 4th at his home. Memorial services for Dennis Armstrong will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Maisie Rice, age 93, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Maisie Rice will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Diane Zapf, age 75, of Benora, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Diane Zapf will be held Friday at 10 o'clock at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Benora. Twig Funeral Home in Benora has arrangements. Arlene Reapy, age 95, of Griswold, died last Thursday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Arlene Reapy will be held this Friday at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Frank David Clark, age 64, of Stewart, died Monday after a long battle with cancer. Funeral services for Frank Clark will be held Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Larry P. Torrey, age 75, of Council Bluffs, died Sunday at the Risen Sun Christian Village. Funeral services for Larry Torrey will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Bob Swanson, age 78, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Bob Swanson will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Auchinberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Leanna A. Jensen, age 104, of Harlan, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Leanna Jensen will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dolores Ewalt, age 84, of Manila, died Monday at the Manila Manor. Services for Dolores Ewalt are currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manila. And James Lewis, age 54, of Atlantic, died Saturday at CCMH. No services are planned for James Lewis. There is an open visitation at the Roland Funeral Home today and tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 5:30, and on Friday from 8 a.m. to 1. For additional information, you can look at our website at kjan.com. That's a check of our news brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.